Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We're doing a new series today. We're starting a new series called Refresh, Renew, and Restore. Refresh, Renew, and Restore. And really, what happened was, I was kind of preparing for my preaching for this year, these three words kept coming to my mind, and I kind of thought they were the same thing. I thought, you know, refresh, renew, restore, kind of all the same difference. And then I started kind of studying and looking at what the Word of God says, and I realized that there's three different words, refresh, renew, restore, and three different actions that happen with those three different words. And so as I begin to study even more, at first sometimes whenever I get a thought like this, I think that maybe this is one of those deals of, okay, well, you need to preach a message called refresh and a message called renew and one called restore. But I started looking through the Word of God and I realized that there are a lot of different aspects of our life where we need to be refreshed, renewed, and restored. So I want to look at what these three words mean real quick. To refresh in the Bible means to breathe again, to breathe again. Now, when I was a kid, I had an older brother. I still have an older brother. And my older brother is like 9 years older than me. And he used to play this game with me where I was laying on a bed and he would take a pillow and put it over my face. Have you ever played that game with your older brother? It's horrible. Horrible. And so your pillow's on your face, you can't breathe. And I'd start screaming. And we make fun of my youngest son now because he always says, I can't breathe. Anytime someone lays on him, well, I would do that. I can't breathe. He'd say, if you're talking, you can breathe, you know. And that sounds like I just had a horrible childhood. I didn't. I mean, I think he loves me. But I would always get him in trouble, too. So it balanced out. And so it was always feel good whenever you come out and you can breathe. Or that time whenever I was in the swimming pool when I was a kid, and I'm swimming in the swimming pool, and I decide to go as deep as I can in the deep end and then come up. And so I'm coming up, and I see the ladder. But as I'm coming up, there was another kid swimming over me. He didn't know I was underneath him, and he starts coming up the ladder, but instead of putting his feet on the ladder, he puts his feet on me, and so now I can't get up, and I'm scrambling, I'm freaking out, and I see my life pass before my eyes, but I was only like 7, so it was really, really short, and I couldn't get out of the water, and finally the guy gets out of the way, and I come up out of the water, and it's like, oh, you can breathe again, right, that feeling. And there's sometimes in our life, whether it's in our finances, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our health, that we need that moment of being able to breathe again. I just need to be able to breathe again. If I could just have some fresh air in this situation. I get pressured sometimes in certain areas of my life. And I just think, if everybody would just be quiet and walk away for just a minute, I just need to breathe. If I could just breathe, I'll feel better about myself and so about my life. So we need to be refreshed. The other one is we need to be renewed. And renewed has to do with being transformed, specifically, biblically, in your mind. See, it's one thing to be refreshed. That feels good. But the problem is we end up right back in a situation where we need to be refreshed if we haven't been renewed, if our mind hasn't changed, if we don't change the way we think and the way we do life, then we're going to end up in another situation where we're struggling. This is where I always say, whenever we talk about finances, that money doesn't fix stupid. Remember, we say that a lot here, but it's true. So it's this whole idea of someone that's got a mindset of always going into debt and always spending every dime they get, then they win the lottery, chances are within 6 months they will have lost all of that money because their mind never changed. Their wallet changed, but their mind never changed. They had the refreshing moment, but they never had the renewal. And so we've got to have refreshing and renewing. The same is true in relationships. You see people sometimes, and you talk to people sometimes, and you say, they talk about how they go through one relationship after another, after another, after another, and they always blame the other person. Well, this person did this, and this person did that, and this person did this. Chances are, if you've been through 5 or 6 relationships and you're blaming everybody else, chances are you might be the problem. And what the problem is, it's not that you didn't get a good new relationship on the refreshing part. It's that you didn't renew your mind. You weren't transformed. So you brought all those same mindsets into a new relationship, and it just doesn't work like that. The other one is we need to be restored. And to restore means to return what was lost. To return what was lost. And I believe that we serve a God that loves to restore. And here's the cool thing about God, is no matter what it is that we messed up on in our past, He can restore that very same thing into our present and our future. So you may say, yeah, I messed up in my finances, or I messed up in my relationships, or I messed up in this, or I lost this. This bad thing happened to me. God says, I can restore that. I can restore time. I can restore finances. I can restore whatever it is. God is a God of restoration, and He can bring it back to us. And so we're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about our relationships, talking about our finances, talking about our health. And then we're also today, though, we're going to talk about our hearts. We're going to talk about how God can refresh, renew, and restore our hearts and our heart for Him, our relationship with Him. The problem with today's world is a lot of times we feel people can get into this place where they're very distant. They feel like their relationship with God is very distant. Their relationship with God is very dry. There's not a lot of life to it. And I don't know if that's a byproduct maybe of how we live our lives and do our relationships today, where everything is done over text message or on social media, where a lot of our relationships, we talk about, these are my friends, but you haven't seen that person in real life in a long time. But they're your friend. Why? Because I have this connection, but it's a very distant connection. And we do that with God sometimes. Our relationship with Him becomes very distant or very dry. And so we want to talk about that this morning and how we can refresh, renew, and restore that. So look at Psalm chapter 13. Because I found this. There's a man in the Bible named David. He was a great king. And the Bible even says this about David. It says that he is a man after my own heart. In other words, David is not only made like me, David pursues my heart. He is constantly after my heart. And I think that's awesome. That's a great compliment from God. But then I read some of these words that David wrote, and I think he's a lot more normal than I think we give him credit for. So look at Psalm 13, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. I want to stay right there for a second, because this is where a lot of us live. Sometimes we live in this place where we're saying, God, where are you? Man, I'm praying, I'm showing up at church, I'm doing all the right things, but where are you? I don't hear you. I don't feel your presence anymore. I don't feel like you're here. There's no life in my eyes. Another translation says life. I know all the men in the room, when I read sparkle, you're like, no, that's not for me. Ain't no man in the room saying, I want some sparkle in my eyes, right? Last night, my daughter had a friend over, and they were making lip gloss. I wouldn't put that stuff on my lips for nothing. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure their lips are going to be burning today or something, some kind of chemical reaction. They're making lip gloss, and they were like, let's add some sparkle to it. And Colt, my youngest son, was like, what? Sparkle? And I'm like, it's not for you, son. Just back on up. You just go in the other room, grab a gun, let's shoot something, but don't be grabbing the sparkle. But David says, I need some life here. David says, I'm drying up. Restore the sparkle or the life to my eyes, or I'm going to die. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but I'm going to be real honest with you today. There's been plenty of times, even as a pastor, that I felt like this. There's been times as a pastor, I've said, God, I feel like, we talked about this last week, I feel like I'm on a treadmill, and I'm doing a lot of work, but I'm not going anywhere, and I need you to do something, or I'm going to just die. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm going to give in, because I need you to restore something for me today. And if that's you this morning, we're going to talk about how we can restore and refresh and renew. We're going to talk about how to get that sparkle or life back into us. So the first thing we need to understand today, if you want to be refreshed, that's our first term. If you want to be refreshed, refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. It only comes from His presence. Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you're struggling and you're burdened and you've got heavy weights hanging off of you, if you'll just come into my presence, if you'll just show up with me, I'll take all of that weight off of you. The idea there is that you've got so much weight on you that you can't breathe. And Jesus says, if you step into my presence, if you'll just come spend some time with me, I'll take the weight off so you can breathe again. I will refresh you. I'll give you refreshing. And so refreshing comes from His presence. Look at Acts 3, 19 and 20. We read this last week. We'll read it again this week. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Verse 20, then times of refreshment will come from what? From the presence of the Lord. The key word here is if you want to be refreshed, you got to have the presence of the Lord. If you want to be refreshed, you got to be in His presence. Because Peter says times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. So the first thing is refreshing comes from His presence. But the thing is, Peter also says in verse 19, he says repent. Repentance means to change your mind about something. Repentance means to change the purpose of why you're doing something. It means to do that about sin, yes, but we can repent about other stuff. For me, whenever I look at this, I see this idea of removing the distractions and the burdens that I'm carrying with me. Sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it can be good stuff, but sometimes we've got to remove all of these distractions. So to get into His presence, we have to remove distractions. How many of you have ever been on a cruise before? Anybody ever been on a cruise? Yeah. I like going on a cruise. I've been on two cruises in my life. I've been saving up this year. This year, my wife and I have been married in July or June. I think it's June. When were you born? July? In June, we will have been married. In June, we'll be married 15 years, my wife and I. And so this year, we decided to save up and go on a cruise. And I don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. I got to talk to Jeremy's wife about that. But we got to figure that out. So we're saving up to go on a cruise. And I love the thing about a cruise is once you get on that boat and that boat takes off, guess what happens to your cell phone? Stops working. Like all of a sudden, you can't get phone calls or texts anymore unless you pay extra money to be able to use your cell phone, which y'all know me, I'm way too cheap to do that. I love it. It's like all of a sudden, I looked at my phone the first time I went on a cruise, and all of a sudden the little signal just went out. And I went, oh, this is so refreshing. I just lost all my distractions. Like, no one can call me and tell me about their problems. No one can tell me that the church is burning down. I don't care. I'm on a cruise. I'm going to eat food, and I'm going to lay out in the sun, and I'm going to burn because I'm really, really white, and it's going to be horrible later, but for the moment, I'm going to enjoy this. No distractions. I can breathe again. Sometimes we need these moments to turn off the distractions. It's the distractions that keep us out of His presence. There's been plenty of times I feel like God has been calling us individually, maybe even corporately, calling us into His presence. And we're on our way into His presence, and the phone rings, and we say, hold on, God, look, this is important. This is my mama calling. I better get this, because if I don't get this, she's going to keep calling. Y'all know how mamas are. I better go get this. And then you start heading back in there again, and all of a sudden your stomach starts rumbling. And you say, oh, God, I would love to come pray. I would love to come spend some time with you, but I'm really, really hungry if you'll just wait till I get done eating. Uh-oh, now it's time to go to work. Now it's time to go to the gym. Now it's time to go to piano lessons. Now it's time to go to baseball practice. Now it's time to go to the school. And next thing you know, the end of the day comes and we're tired and we say, God, I would love to spend some time in your presence, but I'm so tired now. I'll do it tomorrow. We're good for tomorrow. And so all these distractions happen, and they're not always bad. I often hate to use the word repentance because the first thing we think is sin, and I want you to think that way. I want you to think that sin is something you repent of, but something we harp on a lot at this church, for those of you that are new, you'll hear this a lot, is we harp on the idea that repentance isn't just about sin. Sometimes you need to repent of good things. And we're going to look at a verse, a chapter in just a minute in Luke chapter 10. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10, here's what happens sometimes, and I wrote this down, and I thought this was a really good thought. I didn't put it in your notes, though. But we often substitute His presence. Here's where we start making these substitutions that hurt us. We substitute relationship with God for rules, right? We substitute relationship with God for rules, and that keeps us out of His presence. And that forces us to have a very dry relationship with Him. We substitute His presence for the peripheral. I can't say that word very good, but that's what we substitute His presence with. In other words, we start saying, I don't need to spend time in the presence of God because I go to church. I don't need to spend time in the presence of God because I went to small group last week. I don't need to spend time in the presence of God because I read my Bible. Now look, we can take all of these things that are all good things. I didn't say anything about looking at pornography or getting drunk or killing somebody. I didn't say anything about that. I'm talking about good things like going to church. But if we're not careful, we will substitute good things for His presence. will substitute good things for his presence. Whenever you have a relationship with a person, if you're not careful, you'll substitute good things for the presence. My wife is always saying, take me on a date. Take me on a date. All I need is a date. If you'll just take me on a date. And if I'm not careful, I'll take her on a date just to check the box. And then whenever we get home or the next day and nothing has really changed, I always have that to go back to. I took you on a date. Why are you complaining? Now that makes me sound like a horrible person. And I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying this is the mindset that we get sometimes. If it's not about our heart, if it's not about the reason she wants to go on a date is not because she wants to go see a movie or eat at a restaurant. The reason she wants to go on a date is because she wants to spend quality time with me without little kids coming around and pulling us and work people calling us. She wants to spend quality time with me. But if I view it as I just got to do the date part and then I'm done, then I've missed the whole point. And with God, God says, let's go on a date. And date can be church, but if we view church as I'm just checking something off the list, we've missed the point. We've missed the point. Same with the Bible or whatever. And there's a woman in the Bible that had a problem with this. Luke chapter 10 gives us a very good example of distractions versus presence here. And I want you to look at 10:38-42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now let's pause right there. What is Martha doing? Martha is welcoming Jesus in. She understands presence. She understands that I've got to have Jesus in my life. I'm going to open up my doors. I'm going to let Jesus come on into my life. I'm going to make room for Jesus. This is all the good stuff we want to do, right? This is everything we want to do. Verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. So Martha welcomes Jesus in. Mary, what does Mary do? Mary says, hey, if he's coming in here, I'm sitting at his feet. Like, I'm going to get in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to get close to him. I'm going to consume everything that he's got, all of the knowledge, all of the wisdom, all of the love. I want everything he's got. I'm going to be at his feet. Verse 40 is where things change, though. But Martha was distracted. Say distracted. What was she distracted by? Sin? Was she distracted by lust, by greed? No. Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to get up and help me. This sounds like an argument in my house all the time. Every day. Dad, it's not fair that so-and-so doesn't have to clean their room and I have to clean my room. Right? Right? We have this a lot. And this is exactly what's happening. Martha did a great job opening up the home. Martha got the ball rolling. Mary sees the opportunity to get in the presence of God. And then Martha gets distracted by dinner. That's always funny to me because I think of all the things you can be distracted by. She's distracted by dinner. She's distracted by food. Uh-oh, we're going through 21 days of fasting. Don't be distracted by dinner. I ought to stop right there. Altar call. But the Lord said to her, look, this is the key. The Lord said here, dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's what he said. He said, there's only one thing you need to worry about, and that's getting in my presence. You need to stop worrying about all the details. Stop worrying about if the lights are right, if the sound is right, if they did the video at the right time or cut it off at the wrong time. Don't worry about if there's a typo. Don't worry about... Now look, it's okay to be excellent in what you do, but if that becomes... And maybe that's just my world, so you need to apply the application to your world. Whatever the distractions become, if those become bigger than the presence of God, then you've missed it. His presence has to come first and everything else can come next. So Martha has to start repenting, not of sin, of distractions. She's got to start saying, I'm going to change my mind about these distractions. I'm distracted and I'm going to turn those distractions off. And that's really where fasting comes in. That's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting, because fasting is our way of turning off the distractions. For some of you, the distraction might be food. Beverly is over there in the corner, and so Beverly was telling me she's started a new diet, and it's a it's this intermittent fasting, and she was saying, I started doing all this fasting. She's so excited, and I think all the fasting has made all the blood run to her head, because now she's just like, she's all jittery all the time, so excited. We got in here the other day, and we're working, and I'm standing at the table trying to study and get some stuff done for church, and Beverly's like running around, and she's like, is it hot in here to you? And she's taking off her jacket. I think it's hot in here. It's like, Beverly, I think you're on crack. Like, I think your diet is to do crack, and then you're going to lose weight and be healthy or do whatever it is you want to do. But she's doing this fasting thing, and she was talking to somebody, and somebody else was doing fasting, and Beverly was like, yeah, I fasted for 17 hours yesterday, and which right off the bat, like, nope, you know, like, uh-uh. And so she said, I fasted for 17 hours, and this other person that she was talking to was like, I can't go like 2 hours without thinking about food all the time, you know. So what happened? Beverly turned off a distraction in her life. But for some of us, food is a distraction, because we can't go 5 minutes without thinking about what our next meal is. There's some of you right now, when I said the word dinner earlier, you stopped listening to the rest of the sermon because you're thinking about what you're going to eat after church today. So we get this concept in our head. We get these distractions. It could be food. For some of us, it might be our phones, right? For some of us, it might be TV. For some of us, it might be a relationship that you have. I don't know what the distraction is, but during these next 21 days, we're asking everyone to turn off the distractions. I'm not asking you to do the Daniel fast or do the whoever fast. I'm asking you to do the you fast. You fast whatever distracts you from His presence. For me, for example, one of my things, you know, I love sports. You know, I love LSU football. I love Saints football. I got my Saints shirt on today. I'm ready to represent today because we're in the playoffs. So I love the Saints, God help them, because they are Christians. Saints are Christians. And so we're going up against the Vikings today. They're definitely not Christians. You know, I mean, you're talking about Thor. No. They're definitely going to hell. So the Saints got to win today. And so I'm all about love, that kind of stuff. I really do. But if I'm not careful, what happens is when I wake up in the morning and I'm just trying to get my eyes open, I'm just trying to get myself awake, the first thing I do is grab my phone. And instead of looking at the Bible or looking at my devotional, sometimes the first thing I look at is, let me check the scores from last night. Let me see if LSU won in basketball. Let me see if how the Saints are doing. Let me check on this stuff. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, it's been 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then it's time to get up and get going. And all I've done to add value to my day is figured out the score of a game last night that I could have learned any other time. So there's distractions that I have to turn off for 21 days. Why 21 days? Why not 40 days? Why not 60 days? Why not 7 days? There's a study that says if you can do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit in your life. Can I tell you something? If you want to live and walk in the presence of God, you need to create a habit of turning off distractions. I'm not saying sports is bad. I'm not saying social media is bad. I'm not saying TV is bad. I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. Food's not bad. What I'm saying is when it becomes a distraction to me, I need to get into a habit where it's easy for me to turn it off, or I'm not addicted to it. Here's the thing, though. What we said earlier, being present isn't enough. There's got to be transformation. There's got to be transformation. It's great for us to be in His presence, and it would have been good for Martha to be in His presence. But the problem is, if there's not transformation in Martha's brain and in her heart, then what happens is, the whole time she's sitting in His presence, she's thinking about the dishes that are piling up. She's thinking about whether or not the chicken is burning, right? And so you got to make sure that whenever you go into His presence and you get that refreshing, that the next step is, now I got to get some renewal. I've got to have transformation. Transformation comes from renewing our minds. And in Romans 12:2, the Bible says this: do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. In the ESV version, it says, by being transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we've got to make sure that our minds are constantly being renewed, that we're not just being refreshed and we feel good by being in His presence, but that our minds are being renewed. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Sometimes our go-to thoughts are going to be about two things, really. Our go-to thoughts are going to be, how does it feel, and what am I doing? Like a lot of times in our life, we want to know, how does it feel? What emotion is tied to this, right? If you tell your child to eat something, they're going to say, what does it taste like? You know what I mean? Like it's all about feeling. It's all about how does it feel to me? And we can't base our life on how something feels. We can't base our life on our actions. And a lot of times we do. We put our heart behind our actions and what it is that I'm doing. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible, whatever the case is. But instead, we got to know, what does God's Word say about this? The best question you can ever ask is, what does God's Word say about this? Paul said, having your mind renewed, right? Being transformed by the renewal of your mind. And he says, and then you'll be able to know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for your life. We got to go back to His Word and let His Word become the new standard by which our thoughts are built. And I think sometimes in our relationship with Him, we go by what other people say. We read this book. We listened to Pastor Gabriel talk. Look, I'm doing the best I can. But I'm not perfect. I mean, I can mess up, right? Like, we all know that. You've heard me mess up plenty of times. If you base your relationship with God on me, then you've missed the boat. Our relationship with God always has to be built on the Word of God. You can't build your relationship with God on what some preacher in California says, because in California, they may live different than the way you live over here. And he may say some stuff that for you is not right, and it's not where you need to be living. You need to worry about, what does God's Word say about my life? And when you hear someone say something, back it up with God's Word. And that way our minds can now be renewed and be changed. So we've got to have our minds changed by the Word of God. We've got to make sure we know what God is saying. And so I want to show you today what God is saying about your heart. I want to show you. So the first thing he wants to refresh you by you getting in His presence and removing distractions. But here's the second thing. Here's how He wants to renew us. And here's what He's saying about our hearts and our minds today. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27, this is a good one for you to look at and kind of memorize. It says this: Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't worship idols. I do. I'm wearing one of my idols on my chest. Right? Well, Pastor, you don't really worship, you know, the saints. I spend a lot of time watching them, thinking about them. That sounds like worship to me. LSU, I mean, that's not very important. But what do? I like to read about them. I like to... And then y'all may be getting mad at me, looking at me like, oh man, you're the worst person in the world. But all I got to say is Crimson Tide, you know. And whoa, don't be talking about my Lord and Savior, you know, Nick Saban. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa. You know, we got a statue built to Nick Saban. We go rub his head every time we walk in. You know, it's about that big. But you just think about the idols in your life. Think about the idols in your life. Sometimes your idol might be yourself. I got to go to the gym and I got to look in the mirror and I got to have the right look. That could be yourself, could be your idol. Sometimes your idol could be your kids. There's some folks that love their kids more than they love their spouse. We tell our kids all the time, me and mom are on a team and you're not on our team. We love you, but you will not get in between me and mom, right? This is the most important team. And so it's important to see that you have a lot of idols. You can have a lot of idols in your life. And this time of fasting and removing distraction is removing those idols. And God says, here's what we're going to do about your heart today. We're going to remove the idols from your life. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So what is God saying about renewing our minds and our hearts today? Is he says this. He says, I'm going to take out your old ways of thinking. I'm going to take out all those old idols, all the things that you thought were priorities, all the things that you thought were important, and I'm going to put my priorities inside of you. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. I'm going to give you a brand new heart and a brand new mind. And what is that mind and heart going to do? That mind and heart is going to be willing and, what does it say here? It says tender and responsive to what? To his regulations, to his rules, to his word. All of a sudden, he's going to give us a mind and a heart that as soon as we read the word of God, we respond to it and it clicks with us. I don't know if you've ever had this problem before, but sometimes you read the Bible and it doesn't click. You don't get it. You don't understand. And you start praying and you start asking God, saying, God, I want to get in your presence. I'm going to remove some distractions. I'm going to fast for 21 days. I'm going to turn off my phone for 21 days. I'm going to turn off the TV for 21 days, whatever the case is, and I'm going to get in your presence. And while you're in his presence, he begins to renew your mind. The Bible says he begins to take out your old heart and he begins to give you a sensitive heart. Now all of a sudden, the next time you read his word, it clicks. It's like, oh, no, 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 I get this now. I see what he wants for my life. And so he starts to do something. Here's the other cool thing I like about that is it says that he will do all the work. Notice he didn't ask you to remove your heart and your mind. He said, I'll do it. How? By getting in his presence, by removing distractions, getting rid of the idols. It says he'll do all the work. He removes the old heart. He puts in the new heart. He puts in the new spirit. He does the work for you. You don't have to do it. So it's not about what you can do. It's not about how you feel. It's about your willingness to let your mind be renewed and transformed by the word of God, by being in his presence. The last thing is this. He wants to renew us. He wants to refresh us. But then lastly, he wants to restore us. And what is he going to restore? He's going to restore our joy. See, whenever you have a dry and distant relationship with God, there's no joy in that. There's no life in that. So what God says is, God says, I can restore the joy in the life. Remember David said, return the sparkle to my eyes? That sparkle he's talking about is the joy of his relationship with God. I want you to look at Psalm 51:12. The Bible says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When he's talking about salvation there, he's talking about relationship. And David is looking at God. And he's saying, God, I need you to restore my joy. My relationship with you has gotten dry and distant, and I need you to restore my joy. Now, before you start thinking, well, that's easy for David to say. David was a man after God's own heart. This prayer, this psalm was written after David had stolen another man's wife, committed murder, and lost a child. David was having a bad day. He was having a bad year. And sometimes we look at our life and we think, God doesn't understand. Everybody in the Bible had such great lives and they wrote all this good stuff. He doesn't understand where I am. Adultery, murder, and the death of a child. And David says, I feel distant. I feel dry. What happened? A lot of stuff became distractions to David. He lost his way. He lost his purpose. He lost his relationship. He says, God, I got to have restoration here. I need you to restore my joy. Here's the cool thing about joy. Joy is all about the heart. Joy is not happy. Happy is based on the circumstances. Happy is based on how everybody else is doing around you. Happy is based on how much money is in your wallet or what the doctor says about your good health. That's happy. Joy is different. Joy comes from the depths of who you are. Joy comes from a restored and renewed mind and heart. Joy comes from the inside. And joy says, everything else around me may be crashing down. I may have committed murder, and I may have stolen another man's wife, and I may have lost a baby, but you know what? I can still have joy. Because joy comes from the inside. Joy comes from my relationship with God, not from my relationship with everybody else or my relationship with a bank or my relationship with a doctor or my relationship with whatever. Joy comes from the inside. Paul and Silas are two guys in the Bible. They were missionaries, and Paul wrote a bunch of the New Testament. In one of their missionary journeys, Paul and Silas were captured, beaten, and thrown into a prison. And a lot of people say that the part of the prison they were thrown into was the sewage part of the prison where all of the waste was collected. And can you imagine with me today? I know it's gross, but imagine yourself being beaten to a bloody pulp, open wounds all over your body, and then immediately thrown into a sewer and chained up there. Sometimes we get these pretty little pictures of children's Bibles where it's Paul and Silas sitting there and all they got is a little bit of dirt on their forehead and they're sitting in a nice clean little room and they're in there in their chains just praising God. But the truth of the matter is, some of us are such germaphobes that right off the bat you would have just said, kill me. You know, like, I'm done. They're bleeding, they're hurting, they're sitting in human waste. And what did they do? The Bible says that they begin to praise God. They begin to sing. They begin to shout. They begin to love on their Savior. Why? Because they weren't happy. They weren't happy. You can't be happy. But they were full of joy. They were full of joy because joy comes from the inside. The Bible says that as they worshiped God, the earthquake hit and their chains fell off. The prison doors were open and they were set free. Look, there's some of us today, you're saying, man, I'm sitting in such mess and I can't get happy. I can't put a smile on my face. Nobody's asking you to. God wants to restore your joy, though. He wants to restore something inside of you that's been dead for a long time. And He wants to restore that life, that sparkle to your eyes. I want to end today by showing you the end of Psalm 13. We read the beginning earlier. But the end of it says this, verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because He is good to me. David had a situation. He had a situation where his mind had to be transformed by the truth that the Lord is good and His love is unfailing. His joy had to be restored. His heart had to be refreshed. Today, some of us come into a relationship with God. We come into church and we're saying, man, 2018's got to be better than 2017. Like, something's got to change. Something's got to click in my life. I need something to happen. Before you need your health and your finances and your relationships with others restored, you need to have your heart and your mind refreshed, renewed, and restored. That way you can start off right. Don't start this year off behind. Start this year off ahead. We're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting. You may not even go to our church. I still encourage you to do it. Turn off the distractions and see what God can do in your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.